Blog Talk Radio.
Today we are talking with author R.M. Alexander. We're going to talk about her new book. We're going to talk about writing and all that kind of good stuff. Hi, Robin.
Hi there, Sherry. How are you?
Fine. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's always fun to talk to you, Robin.
Oh, it's always fun to be here. We have a blast every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything, I know you wrote a new book, new that's happening that's interesting that you would like to talk about, or would you like just to talk about, writing right now? What would you like to chat about today?
I am all yours. I guess we can start with the book and then kind of move on from there. The Perfect You is actually not quite published yet. It's going to be here within the next month or two. It's got to get through the rest of the editing process. But it's wrapping up and a little bit behind schedule. I was hoping to actually have it out late last year, and some things came up and personalized it back some. But it is the conclusion to the Only You series, and it's been a while since we've chatted, so the Only You series is a romantic suspense. It is a trilogy, so this is book three, and there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in the final book here, and of course a lot of answers as to what's been happening in Hollywood to these characters, and some new things coming up in their lives to both good and bad. So really excited about sharing it with my readers.
That sounds fun. That's the question I have. It's always interesting to hear what an author thinks when they end the series. Are you sad? Are you going to miss it? How do you feel about it ending?
Actually, I kind of do. There's almost like a natural high that comes, you know, especially when you're with characters for as long as it takes to write a trilogy. And they become very real to the writer. And so when I'm wrapping up a book, there's actually a couple of weeks where I just can't write. I have to come out of that end of writing funk that I get into at the end of a book. And I don't know why it happens, but it does. And it takes me a good couple weeks to just kind of detach from one story to move on to the next.
Yeah, it's sort of like a white haze of, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe to someone who's never gone through it, but I know what you mean. Because you've worked so hard and so long on something, and then all of a sudden it's just gone.
Yeah, and it's almost like saying goodbye to a friend that you know you never see again. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, I don't ever go back and actually read one of the books I've written. I don't really have time to, unfortunately. But then there's just also, you know, we go through it 4, 5, 6, 7 times while we're writing it. So by the time we're done with it, while we miss the characters and everything, we also don't want to pick the story back up again for a very long time.
No, I don't reread. I actually, after it's published, I don't, unless I do a reading, and even that's just a chapter.
Right.
I don't really want to. The only book I've done that with that I've reread was Fantasy Timing, because I reworked it. And I added stuff to it, and I put a new chapter on it. But other than that, nope, haven't reread anything.
Right, exactly. So For me, it's kind of like, you know, you're with these characters for, and they are a part of your life 24/7, because even when you're not writing, you're thinking about the stories and you're thinking about these characters. And so when it's time to end the story, you know, it's kind of like saying goodbye to a good friend, you know, that you're never going to see them again, because it's, the story's over and that's just it. You move on to the next. So, yeah, I always get into a real kind of funk after.
It's sort of like when you're a kid and you're going to move to a new place and you say, oh, well, we'll write and stuff, and you may do it for like a month and then they disappear. Well, that's what happens to your characters.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it was really interesting because last year I had a couple years ago, I had published a trilogy called The Shadows Trilogy. And I know you and I have talked about Veil of Secrecy and the other two books that went along with that. Last year I picked it up and I wrote a novella. And the novella is available on Amazon, but its main purpose was as a gift to anybody who signed up on my newsletter. So I had to actually go back and revisit characters I hadn't worked on, thought about for probably a good year and a half. And it was a very strange experience, to go back and revisit, visit characters that in my mind, I thought, you know, I had never planned on going back and adding to, so it was a very different experience to actually have to go back and revisit something that we had, you know, that I had put down.
I know it is. It is. That's how it felt when I did Fantasy, when I redid it. It just, it's yours. It's just like when you, like, someone says, oh, this passage was really good. And you hear and you go, did I write that?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, it's in the middle of your book, so you must have. So, okay.
Right.
I don't remember it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, or, you know, when you go through, because I go through several rounds of revision before I ever turn my books into the editors. And it's always funny because each round, you know, on the first two rounds, a paragraph or a chapter will sound good to me, you know, going through it. I'll go down on the third round. I'm like, really? I wrote that? And I think that's got to be changed. That's not passing. And I'm sure you go through the same thing.
Yeah, but I wasn't really meaning in a bad way. I was just meaning I just honestly don't remember it.
That can happen too.
It's just like I write a lot of short stories and fan fiction, and sometimes I'll get an email from somebody who's read one of them. If it's a really old one, they're like, really, what did you mean that you wanted these characters to do? And I go, you do realize I wrote that in the 90s. I don't remember.
Yeah, I have no idea anymore.
I don't. I mean, it's like, and there's one, I had a anthology, I was in college, and it was a horror science fiction anthology book, and I had one story in it. And somehow this person went to that school, and they got it. I didn't even know that you still could buy it. And they wrote me, and they said, they saw my name through chatting with Sherry, and they wrote me, and they said, they really love this. Are you going to do a sequel? I go, I was 19 when I wrote it. I was a different person.
Right?
I mean, no.
Yeah,
because you really, and you've changed so much that there's no way when you look at your old writing that you could go back to the person who created that and write something. You know, it just,
right.
At least I can't. Maybe other people, maybe you can, but I can't.
Right. Well, in each book is a different mindset. You know, I don't, I've never acted, you know, outside of drama class, you know, in high school some years ago. But I imagine it's almost like that, you know, because when you're writing, you have a mindset for each book.
Mm-hmm.
And those characters put you in a certain place. You know, you don't really have, people think that we control our stories. We don't. Our characters do.
Absolutely.
We just become the mouthpiece for it.
And they argue with you.
Right. And if you don't do what they want you to do, they just don't let you write at all.
They get nasty.
Yes, they do. They're like spoiled little brats. And I know only writers understand this. Everybody else who's not right, doesn't write, probably thinks we're absolutely crazy right now. But
yeah,
it's the truth.
Schizophrenic.
Yeah. We don't need, you know, we don't need huggy jackets in the padded room. It's the truth. But when you switch stories, you know, the mindset that you had for this trilogy or for this, even just a single standalone book, is completely different from the mindset that you're going to have on the next one, on the next project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and you can't necessarily find the mindset that you had on that first one. You're just never going to be there again.
Yeah. And also, you as a human being grow and change, and
mm-hmm.
it's not even just your mindset, it's your whole being. You as you get older, you're like I said, you shed the person you were, and you're not the person you were in your 20s, 30s. You know, you keep changing every time you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be every 7 years you change, you like shed a person. I think that's what they say. Every 7 years, you're a different person than you were.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all your experiences and everything, you just don't think of things or look at things the same way anymore.
It's sort of weird. Strange concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, yes. But it's weird. So, like, one of the things that I find very interesting about writing, and I don't know if you agree, is that, well, you get a lot, it's great therapy. Let's say you had an argument with someone, and you're really angry, and you have a chapter coming up where you have a murder. Boy, that really helps.
I know my husband, he's always laughed at me, or he still does, because I used to tell him, you know, when I was young, you know, in my teens or whatever, and I was just writing just to write, and it was a hobby at the time, you know, I'd write about people who were in my life, you know, friends or, you know, whatever. And, you know, if I got mad at a friend, that friend would be killed out of that story. And I told my husband about that when we first met, and he still laughs at me about that. He's like, oh, don't get you mad.
Well, I mean, it's just like, if you had a really bad problem at work,
mm-hmm.
and the person's really mean to you for no reason, or just really just a mean person to you, they're a great
mm-hmm.
source for a villain. I don't know how many nasty people and jobs that I worked at became villains in my books.
Now you know everybody who's listening to the show and who know us at all are going to go back to all of our books and go,
was I the villain in this book?
Right.
It's true. Yeah, and then give him a fiery, horrible death, you know. And you never have to lift a finger. You never have to. It's like really great. I mean, they should introduce this to every person. Everybody should write. There would be
there
no
you go.
Violence in the world. Everything. It would be a peaceful, calm place because they'd have this great outlet.
Right. No, it is. Writing is. And it doesn't matter, you know, your mood can dictate what you're writing, but then it also can dictate, you know, how much passion you can put in that writing when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
because I find when I'm really passionate about something that's going on in my real life, you know, I can go to my book and those words just pour out on the paper.
It's great. Yeah.
And then other times, you know, when, you know, things are just kind of, you know, everyday, you know, whatever, it's a little bit more of a challenge because, you know, I might be distracted by, you know, what's going on, and I homeschool my kids. So, you know, what projects we have to do the next day, or, you know, getting on the internet and researching this or researching that, you know, and all these little distractions. But when I'm passionate about something, when I'm really, you know, really happy or really sad or really angry, I just get in there and I'm not distracted by anything anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah.
Passion is a great focus.
It is. It is.
Do you think that when, let's say you are, like, in a bad mood, does it get you out of your bad mood once you get the, I guess, passion fugue out of you?
It seems to. And I think it's a combination of the writing, and then a lot of times when I'm writing, I have to have background noise of some kind. Most of the time it's my music. Sometimes it'll be an old TV series that, you know, I don't really have to sit and watch to understand what's happening because I've seen it so many times, but it's just back there in the background.
I do that with old movies.
So I think, I can do that too with movies sometimes. Yeah, but a lot of times, you know, it's something like, what's that?
I was just saying it can't be something that you haven't seen before because then you get involved with what you're watching instead of what you're working on. Because that's why my brother goes, did you see the show that, no, not yet, I'm still working. But you know what, yeah, but that's a movie I've seen 1,000 times. It doesn't strike me. I haven't seen the show, so I don't want to watch it while I'm working.
Right. I know it's like the Golden Girls. I've seen every episode like a gazillion times. So for me to have them in the background, you know, it's not distracting. I can still understand what's happening in the show just by listening to it, you know, and I don't have to keep looking up. There's a new show out on E! Right now that just started. Sunday night was the third episode. I can't put that on if I'm trying to write because I'm trying to figure out what's going on in this new series.
Oh, I know. It's just,
and
like,
I'll never get a word on paper.
The show my brother was referring to is Timeless, and he goes, it's a series on, I think it's NBC. I DVR it. And he goes, have you seen that episode? With I go, no, I haven't seen it yet. I will, I promise.
Right.
Because I love time travel, and I just, that's one of the, it's a really good show about time travel. But, you know, I have a habit of DVRing, like when, right now, Victoria, I have to still finish, I'm probably going to watch all of it at the same time because I haven't watched any of it yet.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm too busy working on my own stuff with the little time I have.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's me. My writing time is usually late at night. I usually start writing between 9 and 10 o'clock, and I'm usually up every night until 1:30. Just because, you know, during the day, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a homeschool mom. I have other responsibilities that call me during the day. And a lot of times at night, my husband will want to watch a movie or something with me, and it's like, you know what? You can put on whatever movie you want that I won't be interested in because I can still sit here with you and I can still work without caring one bit about what's on that screen.
Oh, I know. I will take a pad. My mom will be watching something that I really have no interest in, and I will sit with her, and I'll take my writing pad. I'm old-fashioned. I still long handwrite, and I will sit and I'll be, she goes, aren't you watching this? I'm paying it. I hear it, you know. I don't really care. It's there. But I'm keeping you company. Don't we get bored?
I'm in the room. That's got to come.
I'm in the room.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she should be used to it. My dad used to do that with a book. My dad was a voracious book reader, and he would sit and he would read while we would watch a TV show. And he wouldn't be paying any attention to be really into his book, but he'd be with, he'd be there.
Mm-hmm, right? Yeah.
I think I got it from him.
Sounds like it.
We have 10 minutes to go, so this is your pitch time. So I wanted to give you plenty of time. Talk about your a little more about Perfect You. Tell about when it's coming out, website, and any kind of appearances that you're going to be making.
Okay. Well, like I said, The Perfect You is the third book in a trilogy. It centers around actually two families. The Richards family are... The two men in the Richards family are A-list actors in Hollywood, and the Reed family are actually two women that are engaged to these men. They were originally from Detroit, from Michigan. They are from outside the Hollywood circle and the Hollywood lifestyle. So it's combining the two worlds together and making it work, and them finding love and being able to work on their relationships in that lifestyle. And in the meantime, there's someone outside of the family who is threatening both families, but they don't really know who it is yet. And so book three really brings everything for full circle. Of course, they're going to find out who is, where the threat is coming from. And it's going to test some of the things that, that they believe to be safe, and it's going to test some of their trust, and it's going to really bring to light, you know, everything that's been taking place in books one and two. So that's The Perfect You, and it will be coming out. Like I said, I'm finishing up revisions right now. It's going to be headed out to the editor here at the end of the month. So I'm hoping for an early May release. But everybody can keep track of when it's coming out on my website. And that is at rmalexanderauthor.com. I also have a newsletter readers can sign up for. They can find the link right there on the website and get a free novella from signing up. And also find out all about, you know, all my other books. The Perfect You is going to make book 9 now, so that's kind of hard for me to believe, but there it is. And I'm on Facebook almost all the time. I'm on Facebook under my full name, Robin Alexander, and then my author page is facebook.com/rmalexanderauthor. And then I'm also, I don't have any events coming up in the near future, but I will be doing a live read of The Real You, which is book one of this series, of the first one or two chapters here, probably at the end of April is what I'm looking at now to do that that live read on Facebook.
That's cool. And how can they find out about the live read? How can they get in touch with you in regards to that?
If they keep an eye on the Facebook page and then also on my website, signing up for the newsletter, all those outlets, you know, I'll be posting that as we get closer and I have the exact dates so that readers can join in. And afterwards, I'll even be trying to do a little bit of a Q&A you know, through comment sections, so on Facebook. So looking forward to that. It'll be fun to connect with some readers.
And how does the live read work? Because that's an interesting concept, and people may not know. I mean, is it like a video chat?
It's actually with Facebook now has live feeds that you have an option to do. And it's going to have to be on the Robin Alexander page. I don't believe that you can do it on the author pages. I have to look into that still. But it just gives you an option to do, you know, a live post like you would do any other post. And the neat thing about it is that while you're doing it live, you can watch people signing in as they sign in. So you know, you can, as somebody signs in, I can actually see their names and greet them as they're signing in, which is kind of a neat option.
So it's almost like being in a bookstore.
It is. Yeah.
Cool.
And, except this one's virtual, so nobody has to travel anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is sometimes nice.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. Give everybody your website address.
Sure. Again, that's rmalexanderauthor.com.
And your Facebook page where they can get in touch with you for this live read?
Let me give you the author page, and then I'll just put links on there. They'll go over to where it's going to be. It is facebook.com/rmalexanderauthor.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Robin, for coming on the show. It's always fun. I hope you enjoyed it.
I do. I always do, Sherry. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.